Yahweh bless you. This is part two of the blessing and cursing. And we'll kind of do a little summation from part one on the blessing. And there's the word Barak, 1288. And it's all based, as we realize, on obedience. And the blessing means to endue with power for success, prosperity, longevity, etc., etc. And you see it really tied to Abraham and Sarah. And I start thinking of a good example of the blessings and the curse of Yahweh's people. We're going to go into 2 Chronicles on Asa. And we're going to see a blessing manifest just to give you an idea of what it's like. And also the curse, what it's like.
What chapter?
Chapter
28.
14. 2 Chronicles 14. And then we'll be getting into the curse. A few examples here. Asa, Hezekiah, and Zedekiah. 14, verse 2. The requirement is, and Asa did that which was good and that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh his Elohim. It's a requirement. If you want a blessing, obey. Just obey. And you'll get a blessing. Now we go to 9 through 12, and here's a manifestation. Remember from last week, the blessing is a divine power that's coming upon your life. And that can be rain, prosperity, long life, healing, health. But 9, then came out against them, Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a force of 1,300 chariots. That's a million people coming against Asa. And the kingdom has already been split. They might have 400,000, but now you're got more than double the men. And he came as far as Maresha, and Asa went out to meet him, and they set in array for battle in the valley of Zephornah at Mashiach. Then Asa cried out unto Yahweh his Elohim. There you go. And said, O Yahweh, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with such as have no strength. Help us, O Yahweh our Elohim, for on thee do we lean, and in thy name have we come against this multitude. And here's the blessing. O Yahweh our Elohim, thou art, let not weak men have power against thee. So Yahweh what? Heard the prayer, smote the Egyptian or the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And they had days and days and days of getting all their booty, you know, all the stuff they left behind. And so when people traveled, you had to usually take all your valuables with you, because you got to remember there's no banks. And so if I'm not at home, there's no, where would you keep valuables 100%. If there's no banks?
It's like they do it there as well.
Well, think about it. Where? I gotta hide it, right?
In your house?
In the ground. I gotta hide it.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm not home, is that a good idea?
No.
No, because people get in my house and dig around and find my wealth. So I have to take it with me. And so when they fled or you killed people, guess what they had in their tents? On their possession, they had the stuff, and so great prosperity from this. Now we go to Hezekiah, chapter 29. Let's see here, verse 1 and 2, the requirement. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and 29 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And the name of his mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which is right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that David his father had done. Requirement is obedience, obedience, obedience. In chapter 32, verse 20, we have the most powerful person in that particular world, the Assyrian king, coming in to take them. They already have taken all the 10 tribes of Israel, so you're no match. And let's say 20 to 21. Want to read that, Aaron?
Hezekiah the king and Isaiah, son of Amoz, the prophet prayed concerning this and made outcry into the heavens. So Yahweh sent a messenger who cut off every hero of valor and chief ruler and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. And he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he had entered into the house of his Elohim, then the issue of his own body there caused him to fall by the sword.
How many men was he killed? 185,000, so that's in Kings, the record. So Yahweh on one night took care of this guy because Hezekiah was a righteous man.
It says a messenger, not messengers.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's just one overnight deal, and not only did all his men die, 185,000. Boy, that took your force. And now you go home and your own children kill you. That's part of the curse on their life. You come against the blessed ones, you're going to get a curse. Now we go to Zedekiah, chapter 36. And we're going to see just the opposite. You really need to read Jeremiah and the Chronicles and the Kings between this time period. Josiah was a great king. He died, I think, about 39 years old, turned the kingdom around, and then it went to pot, which means Zedekiah had a rule with a firm hand of people. So when a good ruler dies, good people are not going to go bad because they're good people. But if he was the one that was keeping them good, right, then when the parent leaves, the kids will play. And so they go into wickedness, and the kingdom completely falls.
You said Zedekiah. You mean Zedekiah or Josiah?
Yeah, I was talking about, this is Judah, the story. Josiah died. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
From now on, everything goes bad. Jehoiachim and Zedekiah. Yeah, 11 years. It just goes bad. And why? Because the people are bad. The people are bad. And in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the curse is, if you do not obey, here's what's going to happen to you. And if you read those, you'll see that, because this is going to actually happen with Zedekiah. He's surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar, and Yahweh calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Not the Hebrews, Nebuchadnezzar is his servant. And who's helping him? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they're serving against the wickedness of Jerusalem, and that was the same Jerusalem who killed the Messiah, the Mashiach, and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, it's a wicked, you that kill the prophets. So, as of today, even today, Jerusalem, only 2% of the population are Christian. 98% are Antichrist. And that's Muslims and Hebrews, but they're Antichrist, 1 John. But now we go to 11 through 12.
Which chapter?
36. 21 years old was Zedekiah when he began to reign, and Jeremiah warned him and warned him and warned him and warned him. And 11 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh his Elohim. He humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet from the mouth of Yahweh. And it is horrendous, because if you need to read the book of Lamentations. We're just going to read it a little bit. So go to Jeremiah, Lamentations. And what the curse was mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 is happening in Jerusalem. So Yahweh warned him, if you disobey me, here's what's going to happen to you. So they are surrounded and they are starving. So the whole population in Jerusalem is starving. Lamentations 4, verse 6, we're really starving, 6 through 14. And the punishment of the daughter of my people has grown greater than the punishment of Sodom.
Wow.
So think of this. This is happening. He's inside the, Jeremiah's inside the city. The people have been starved out. And it's so severe, they're going to eat their children. Which was overthrown as in a moment when no hands had been laid violently upon her. Purer was her Nazarenes than snow. Whiter were they than milk. more ruddy in body than coral. A sapphire was their beauty of form. Darker than a coal is their visage. They are not known in the streets. Their skin shivereth on their bones, is withered become like a stick. Better are the slain of the sword than the slain of the famine. For these pine away and stricken through, wanting the produce of the field. The hands of compassionate women have cooked their own children. They have served as nourishment to them in the grievous injury of the daughter of my people. Yahweh hath completed his indignation, hath poured out the glow of his anger, and hath kindled a fire in Zion, which hath devoured her foundations. Neither the kings of the earth nor any of the inhabitants of the world believed that an adversary or enemy should enter the gates of Jerusalem. It is for the sins of her prophets, the iniquity of her priests, who have been pouring out in her midst the blood of the righteous. This is Jerusalem. They have wandered blind into the streets, have defiled themselves with blood, so that men may not touch their garments. So that is the curse, and they were warned of the curse. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy. We'll get into the curse in Deuteronomy 27. Because we're going to reconcile Galatians. And Galatians talks about we have been freed from the curse of the law by Christ. And you have to say, okay, well, this has to reconcile with the whole book. So what does it actually mean by that? So let's go to Deuteronomy 27, verse 2. Oh, 20, I'm sorry, verse 20 through 26. Cursed, now think of this. Cursed is he that lieth with his father's wife, because he hath turned aside his father's covenant. And all the people shall say,
Amen.
I'll let you guys play that part.
Amen.
Cursed is he that lieth with any beast, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed is he that lieth with his sister, daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed is he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed is he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed is he that taketh a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed is he that establish not the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
There. Now, are these attributes accepted today?
The Democrat Party, yes.
Well, no, I'm just talking about Christians.
Oh.
And so we have to understand, so people are in a particular mindset that there's we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. This is the curse of the law. And so if I do these things, I'm not cursed. Right? That makes sense. I'm still blessed. So I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham no matter what I do. And that's what the concept is in many churches today, or many teachings today. Which obviously we have to say, would if a Christian did any of these things, would that please Yahweh or displease Yahweh? Obviously displease him. Huh. So I've got to keep that in mind and to reconcile Galatians 3.13, which we will be going into. Because right today we're not Hebrews, and the word is really Ebri, it's not Hebrew. Hebrew is Greek, and it's Ebri, which is actually the word for Hebrew. And now we're going to go into the church, which is the body of the Christ, and people say everything has changed then, which did not begin on the day of Pentecost. It actually began in Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius, because the nations became a part of the institution of Yahweh. But now we're going to go to Galatians 3, get into Galatians, to rectify the curse in there with the rest of the word, what it can be and what it cannot be. Three, 9 through 14. So then they who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Okay, we like that. For as many as are of works of the law are under a curse. Okay, we have to understand that. For it is written, a curse is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now we're going to have to stop there for a minute, and we're going to keep reading. Well, we'll come back to that. Moreover, that in the law no one is declared righteous with Yahweh is evident. Well, that's not true either. Because the righteous one by faith shall live, and the law is not of faith, but he that hath done them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become in our behalf a curse, because it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree, in order that unto the nations the blessings of Abraham might come about in Yahushua Mashiach, in order that the promise of the Ruach we might receive through means of the faith. Okay, so here's the section we're going to be discussing. How does this work? All right. First is, we've got to understand Romans and Galatians. And it's hard to, you know, to, it looks like it all goes one way. It looks like it's a party time. Yahoo, we're not underneath the law, so I can do whatever I want. You know, now I can sin with really no repercussions. Now, I'm not supposed to sin, but if I do, it doesn't really matter because I'm saved through faith and not through my works. And you have to go, well, how does that work? I mean, can that be right? And so we have to say, okay, so in Romans and Galatians, let's start seeing how this works. Let's see here. Actually, the curse is the same word in Deuteronomy 27:26. I mean, it's Greek here, but it's going to be when the Septuagint, they use the same Greek word in Deuteronomy 27:26. Okay, so it's the same word. Now, but we look at, let's go back to, let's see, 10 on the quote, because he's quoting Deuteronomy 27:26. Accursed is everyone that continues not, what's that say? In all things.
What verse are you in?
10, chapter 3, verse 10. For it is written in italics, it's going to show you the quote. According to everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in this book of the law to do them. Now, let's go, Hank, keep your hand here. Let's go to 27:26. That's what it's quoting.
You're talking, go to
27:26.
2:26.
Cursed be he that established not the words of this law to do them. Well, wait a minute. He says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Is that in Deuteronomy? No. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Because this is saying, importantly, this, you know, that here's the law that Yahweh came out, and nobody can do it. So everybody's cursed. And so in essence, well, what they're saying is, here's a law, and this is what it looks like in Romans and Galatians. It looks like there's a law that's impossible to keep, and so nobody's righteous, and nobody can fulfill it. Which that doesn't make sense either. Because what we're going to see is, that was 4,000 years, you know, really when the law came about. It was probably 1500 or something like that with the Mosaic Law that came about. But even see before Abraham, and you're seeing there are people were righteous, which we're going to see. And so you have to say, okay, this is looking like nobody could do the law, but yeah, the law's not hard to do. You know, you don't fornicate. You love your Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you sin, you repent. You bring an offering, they kill the animal, it puts a perpetuated covering over you. You're going to sin, yeah, there's no reason. Can I keep the law? Can I not murder my neighbor? Yeah, I cannot murder, I cannot commit adultery, I cannot steal, I cannot covet, I cannot lie. You know, I can do the Sabbath. And so you have to say, what are you doing here? Because it looks like in one direction, these are all impossible commandments. And you're like, no, they're not impossible at all, they're very simple.
Yeah, don't have sex with your mother-in-law?
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
okay,
you're like...
I can do that!
Yeah. Okay, so we have to look at... Okay, this is Galatians and Romans, and we're going to have to see... Now, let's go to Romans 3:10. We're going to be coming back here, but you're trying to do things here to say... Now, this could be a lot of people blasphemy because I am questioning these statements that cannot be in the direction that most people take them. They must mean something else.
You must be able to reconcile them.
Yeah, we have to reconcile. And here's just an example. Another thing that's not true in Romans 3, verse 10, even as is written, no, there is none righteous, not even one. Well, that's just not true.
It says righteous Lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we're going to go through this. There is none that discerneth. There is none that seeketh after God. Well, that's not true either, because Abraham sure sought God.
King David.
All have turned aside, together have become useless. There is none that doeth kindness, not so much as one. A scepter open is their throat. With their tongue have they used deceit, the poisonous ass under their lips, whose mouth of cursing and bitterness is full. Swift are their feet to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, just wrong. That's not true at all. So you have to say, well, that's what it says. Yes, but it's not true because, let's go to Genesis 26:5. I mean, according to the literal sense.
Yeah. It can't mean what they're saying it means.
Well, how we're looking, picking it up. Because they're saying there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, Abraham and Sarah are all righteous. Let's say 26:5, because that Abraham hearkened unto my voice, and so kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Okay. Well, this doesn't, you know, so what you're saying is cannot be taken the way that I am taking it.
Yeah.
If you're a Gentile or a nation that doesn't know anything about the Old Covenant, that's where you're lacking, because you don't have the information. Let's go to Moses, Numbers 12, 7 and 8. Okay. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. And here's out of the mouth of Yahweh. Not so my servant Moses, in all my house trusty is he, mouth to mouth do I speak with him, and plainly not in dark sayings, and the form of Yahweh does he discern. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Okay, we know Moses had a great relationship. How about David? 1 Kings 14. We know Noah, and there's just case after case after case, so that cannot be taken literal in the sense that we would take it. And first, it was not quoting the Old Covenant correctly either. 14, verse 7 and 8. Let me see here, verse 7. So say to Jeroboam, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee, out of the midst of thy people, and gave thee to be leader over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee. And yet thou hast not been like my servant David, who what? Who kept my
commandments.
And who followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in mine eyes. Okay, we know that. David was a friend, or Abraham was a friend of Yahweh. David was a man after his own heart. So you have to say, okay, well, Romans cannot contradict this, and Galatians cannot contradict this. And so what we have to say, what's the real message in these books? And so to understand that, we have to look at the word circumcision. So circumcision in Romans is used 15 times. Now, and in Galatians, 7 times. Huh. Actually, it ends in Galatians. If you get circumcised, you've done everything wrong. So circumcision is very important. And we go to generation Genesis 17. Let's go here. And we can see what the problem was and what Paul is trying to communicate is all about the nations who are uncircumcised. And that's why circumcision is put out there. And then when a person in Galatians start getting circumcised, he says, it'll profit you nothing. And so that's the context of both books, is circumcision. And the nations are the non-Hebrews, or non-Hebrews. So we saw the problem you deal with in Genesis 17. We're going to see something that Yahweh says that every Hebrew knew, and does today. And Elohim said unto Abraham, but as for thee, my covenant must thou keep, thou and thy seed after thee, to their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep betwixt me and you, and thy seed after thee, to circumcise to you every male. Well, nations were not circumcised. And when I say nations, that's what people say, Gentiles, but it's really the word nations. And that's anybody who's not a Hebrew or Ibri.
Non-Ibri?
Yeah. So shall you be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, so shall become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 years old shall be circumcised to you, every male in your generation. Is this an option?
No,
it's not an option. He that is born of the house, and he that bought with silver. So you can see it had nothing to do with lineage.
Bloodline, yeah.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with bloodline. It's if you're going to be a follower of Yahweh, you were circumcised. If somebody bought somebody who was on a different bloodline, you circumcise them. Or if they did, we're going to see what the consequences are. And he that bought with silver, or any son of a stranger who's not of thy seed, he must surely be circumcised, born of thy house, or bought with thy silver. So shall my covenant be in your flesh for what? An age-abiding covenant. Now, when all of a sudden now people start saying you don't have to be circumcised, what's a Hebrew going to say?
You're not
right here. Genesis 17. Mm-hmm. It says it's an age-abiding covenant. Now, they're going to tell me also what happens to a person who's not circumcised. 14. But as for the uncircumcised male, who shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that was, Titus. Timothy was uncircumcised, and they ended up circumcising Timothy. Then Titus was not circumcised. That person shall be what?
Cut off.
Cut off from among the people. My covenant hath he made void. Okay, well, this changes everything, because now in Acts 15, Paul's going through there saying you don't have to be circumcised. Well, that completely contradicts Genesis 17, the commandment of Yahweh. 15:1 and the certain persons coming down from Judea began to teach the brethren, except ye be circumcised according to the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Which, of course, that's what Genesis says. But there's something else that happened, and that was on the day of Cornelius, the house of Cornelius, that they received Ruach HaKodesh, and they were all what?
Uncircumcised.
They were all uncircumcised. So how could that be? They received a free gift of Yahweh, and they were not circumcised. So they don't have a book. So remember, all they have is Malachi. And all of a sudden, what's up with this? And so this was a discussion. They take it to the apostles. And Peter says, hey, I went into the house of Cornelius. Christ never gave us this information.
Right.
So Christ never told us before he ascended, the uncircumcised are going to be part of your group.
And
he could have said that,
yeah.
But he didn't. Because that's why when Peter was going to the house of Cornelius, he says, the sheets came down and says, Peter, kill and eat lobster and pork and everything else. And he said, it'd be like you eating slugs. No thanks. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. What I have clean, do not call that common. Okay. So revelation came, and how do we know the revelation was true?
They spoke in tongues.
Yeah, but what else? Why could we know that the revelation is true with Peter? Because he's raising the dead.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul's raising the dead. And so that's a validation. This could, without those miracles, without those signs, there's no way we would believe you. I'm going to go with the book of Moses.
Sure, yeah.
Now, to know there's something that's changed is because of what you guys have done. And nobody can heal the blind and heal the sick and raise the dead without Yahweh being with them. So if you're saying this, that's it. Because it wasn't written until years later, probably 65 A.D. These books start coming out. So we saw right here. But then all of a sudden James says in verse 13, you must be circumcised. And they're saying, and after they heard their piece, James answered and said, brethren, hearken unto me. And he goes all through this. And so he's going to say in verse 19, wherefore I judge not to be troubling them who from the nations are turning unto Yahweh, but to write unto them, here's the rules now. You don't have to be circumcised anymore. To abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. So that's it. Okay. So we're starting to look at now of the Hebrews looking at the nations, saying there's no way you qualify because you're not circumcised. And so Paul has to be rectifying that and saying that they are, and we'll get down to the crux of the matter. Let's go to Galatians 6, the end of it, and the context of what are we talking about when he's talking about the curse of the law and everything else. If you disobeyed Yahweh, what did you receive? The curse of the law. If you were uncircumcised, were you, according to Moses, were you obedient or disobedient?
Disobedient.
You're disobedient. So how can a person, the Galatians, who are uncircumcised, not be cursed? Because cursed is people who do not obey Yahweh. You haven't circumcised, you're going to be cursed. Well, Paul's saying, you're not going to be cursed. Right? And you're still not circumcised. Well, wait a minute. Okay, then that starts giving emphasis, and we're going to prove that in a minute, but let's go to Galatians 6. The ending of the book is 6:12-15. And as many as are wishing to make a good show in flesh, the same are compelling you to get circumcised. So what he's saying is, this does not exist anymore. And the people who are putting it on you are putting you back under the Levitical law, because we know we're not redeemed, you know, from, I mean, we are still absolutely to obey the moral law. I mean, the Ten Commandments and anything else that makes sense, even a Levitical law. You don't have sex with your mother-in-law or your sister or anything else. Do I have to tell you that doesn't pertain to me? Yes, it absolutely pertains to me. Now, do I have to go to festivals? No. Do I observe the Sabbath? Yes, I do, because even on the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath was done. It didn't have to be a specific day, because it talks about we're not honoring days. But the Sabbath was in Genesis 2. That it was before the Mosaic Law, and when the Mosaic Law was given the 10 words, it says,
remember
the Sabbath. It didn't say, I'm giving you a law, you're not going to work on the seventh day. No, that was already established back with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. So we know that still is in effect also, but you know, the whole concept, but it doesn't have to be a specific day, and what he's trying to do is another teaching. You got to rest, and your family members have got to rest.
Your animals got to rest.
Yeah, your animals got to rest, and it could be any day of the week in the United States. We have 2 days a week, because Friday or Saturday and Sunday we rest. So we have plenty of time to rest. But let's get back to 12. Part of it. Only that for the cross of Christ, Yahushua, they may not be suffering persecution. For not even they who are getting circumcised are themselves observing the law, but are wishing you to be circumcised, that in your flesh they may boast themselves. With me, however, far be it to be boasting, save in the cross of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, whereby unto me a world hath been crucified, and I unto the world. For neither circumcision is anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So you see, context of Galatians is circumcision. The nation's getting circumcised. So then we have to look at, when he's talking about the curse of the law, we know if you disobey Yahweh, you're going to suffer consequences. Okay. And so whether you want to call that a curse or not, because even at that particular point, before we do that point, because we know in Galatians 1, 8, 9, it talks about accursed are these people. All right, so you're like, okay, that's a different Hebrew word. But let's go back, get back to Galatians 3, 7 through 14. And then the question is, well, let's just go right to 10. And we're going to understand why people are not cursed. For as many as of the works of the law are under a curse. Well, they're under a blessing if you do the law.
Where are you? 3 verse 7?
Yeah, 3 verse 10. Sorry, 10. I just skipped down here. Because we're going to get right into the curse. For as many as of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, a curse is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Moreover, that in law no one is declared righteous with Yahweh. Well, it's evident, you know, that's just ludicrous also. Because the righteous one by faith shall live, absolutely. But we know that Abraham was righteous, and he completely obeyed Yahweh. Yeah. And he did it by faith. And the law is not of faith, but he that hath done them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law. Why? Now here's the person. Why did he redeem us out of the curse of the law? That's our question. Becoming in our behalf a curse, because it is written, curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Let's go back to 13. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law. Why? In order that. It answers that question. What are we talking about here? In order that the who? Unto the nations. Verse 14. Okay, let's go from 13 to 14. Not in between the 13. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law. You should ask your question, why? Why? What are we talking about? In order that unto the nations the blessings of Abraham, the nations who are uncircumcised, there's no way they can get the blessings of Abraham being uncircumcised, right? Because Abraham said you have to be circumcised. Period, right? In order that unto the nations, so what we're talking about, this curse, the nations are not going to be cursed because they're not circumcised. So think about that. In order that unto the nations, the blessings of Abraham might come about in Yahushua Mashiach. Part two. Why else would Christ become the curse? In order that, that's answering that question, in order that the promise of the Spirit we might receive through means of the faith. Okay. So, so to reconcile this with the whole book, in my opinion, what I've seen is really the gift of Christ's death did two things. It didn't give me salvation, which most people think of it, but the free gift is really Ruach HaKodesh. The free gift is Spirit. Spirit can only come on a holy person in the Old Covenant. There was a condition. The only people who received Spirit were holy, set apart by Yahweh. The masses cannot receive Spirit unless Christ purified them all. Wow. See, think of that. He purified them all as he is pure, because he can receive the Spirit because he's holy. But he purified all of us so we get the free gift. Otherwise, without his death, we don't get it.
Because he took all our sins.
Yeah, he took all our sins. So when Yahweh sees Christ, he sees Christ. So Christ qualified us for everybody, children on up, and not on how holy you were to receive Ruach HaKodesh. And so a person can be a Christian and live unholy, and he still has Spirit. It's not taken from him. Mm. So we can see. And so this goes right in there. In order that the promise of the Spirit we might receive through means of the faith. So if the curse is on us, well, I'm not holy, so I can't receive Spirit. Right? So right. If I'm breaking the laws, which people break, we're going to break the laws in different places, I can't receive Spirit, or the Spirit's taken from me. Like David says, take not your Spirit from me, your Holy Spirit from me. And he took it from Paul, or not from King Saul, it was taken from him. With us, the whole thing about Romans and Galatians is Christ becoming that sacrifice, that you don't have to be circumcised only after the house of Cornelius. You don't have to be circumcised, and you don't have to fulfill the law in 100% for receiving Ruach. So you're all going to receive Ruach, which is the power, the promise of the Father.
That's why I thank him every morning for that. But I never thought of it like that.
So really the point is you are cursed if you are not circumcised. So all of Romans and Galatians is talking about circumcision. That's not necessary anymore. Are we supposed to do the works of the law? Absolutely. And anybody who tries to do it otherwise just wants to indulge their flesh.
Right.
Well, I'm not under the curse of the law. So what they're going to say is I'm not under the curse of the law. So I can fornicate with no repercussions?
Have sex with animals?
Am I going to be blessed by Yahweh with having sex with animals? Well, of course, everybody would know that. So let's just get realistic here and put it in its concept. Yeah, I've got that right here. And really, it's simple because in Galatians, it answers that question. Galatians chapter 5. And this is, 5:19. If that was the case, then if I'm not under the curse of the law, I can do anything and be blessed. Because I'm a child of Abraham because I'm walking by faith. Right? But in the same book, it says in 19, manifest, however, the works of the flesh, which indeed are fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantments, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, faction, divisions, parties, envy, drunkenness, reviling, and such as things as these, as to which I have forewarned you, even as I have forewarned you, that they who such things as these do practice shall be blessed.
No. Because there's no curse.
Shall not be cursed. Because there's no curse. No. Shall not inherit Yahweh's rule. Remember, kingdom means rule or reign. Shall not inherit Yahweh's rule. Well, that's got to be reconciled with, I'm not under the curse. Well, how can you say that if I'm not under the curse? The same message is in 1 Corinthians 6. We don't have to go there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. The same thing. You shall not inherit Yahweh's blessing. So reign or rule, or let's say blessing. Now, let's go to part 2, which is a different word. The curse that was in 3 is different than the curse in Galatians 1.
Go where?
Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Because we know if this says we're not under the curse, he's going to say accursed. You are accursed. And 1, even if we or a messenger out of heaven announce a glad message aside from that which we have announced unto you, what?
Cursed.
A curse let him be. Well, wait a minute here. What is it? What is it? Are we under the curse or we're not under the curse? It said a curse let him be. 9, as we have said before, even now again, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message, aside from that which you have accepted, a curse let him be. Yeah, and so that's got to be part of this same book. And so we're looking at, I'm not under the curse, well, right here, there's curses, a cursing coming out. Now it's a different Hebrew or Greek word. It's anathema, yeah. Now, we don't have time. Now, this is a whole different study. We don't have time for it. Very difficult, I'd say. It's a noun. It's number 331. It's in Acts 23:14, Romans 9:3, 1 Corinthians 12:3, and 16:22. And it's talked about, if you do not love the Lord Yahushua, you are cursed. That's how it ends 1 Corinthians 16. Now, we go on other words that are in the same family. The verb is 3:32. It's used in Mark 14, verse 71, Acts 23:12. Acts 23:14, Acts 23:21, and those are the people that said, we're going to kill Paul, we put ourselves under a curse. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the same word. And then we're going to see, there's no curse in the new earth. And that's number 2652, that's Revelations 22:3. And these all have what they call extensions on the same root word. We would call it like we have passion or compassion, like suffixes on the word. Now we're still working with the root meaning, but we're adding intensity. And also that is that when Peter cursed, when he's outside warming himself by the fireplace, that is 20C53, Matthew 26:74. So we're looking at that same word, which is a whole other study in itself. But the gist is, obey Yahweh and you're blessed. And when you disobey Yahweh, repent.
Yeah.
Just repent, say you're sorry, and make sure it's not so catastrophic that you're in jail.
Yeah.
Or you're a felon. You know, or you're pregnant. And I let one person, it says, and this is something for all girls, you do not have sexual intimacy except to the person you're going to marry. Same way with guys. So if you're tempted to having sexual intimacy, then you're marrying that person. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not going to. Then don't have sexual intimacy. Because that's what it's all about. And you will. And no matter what the con is by the male, you don't love me. You know, when people date, you love me. If you love me, you would do this. And that's the lie that men tell women. All right? And then after they have sexual intercourse with them, it's usually, adios, ma'am. Wow! He lied to me. Yeah! Men do that. So you got to be realized, no. If he loved you, he's going to marry you. And then you can have sexual intimacy. That's love. Okay? And if you blow it, you blow it, whatever. But don't do it twice or anything else because there's huge consequences, as we know, too, with sexually transmitted diseases. And you're going to burst your bubble because many times, this another subject, many times your first physical animal contact is imprinted. So you don't want to have it a bad one. You were drunk. And this happened, because all of a sudden my first sexual experience was I was drunk, and the guy left me. Well, that's a great memory I have. If you wait till marriage, then that's going to be blessed, you know, because that's the person I love, they love me, I love them, and we are taught to lie, and we are taught today, too, that sex, just go out there and have sex with everything,
yeah, it's like
anything that moves. But that's not what the teaching is about. I digress. But I'm talking to a young girl here. And anybody who's been through the circuit knows the lies. And you have to be honest. So, Father, we thank you for... we're going to have, according to 1 Corinthians 14... Oh, we never had the manifestations. Sorry. It'll just be at the end. According to 1 Corinthians 14... Share my word, open it up into your mind so you have the ability to share, communicate it, because it is life. Do you love your friends? Do you love your neighbors? Then you're going to give them life. So speak life from my word, but it must be in your heart, in your mind, in your ability in order to communicate it. So get ready, prepare yourself so you can be an ambassador sharing forth my word. See you next week.
We're not going to do all.
No.